Turn with me, please, to the book of James. Last Sunday we covered one verse. We're going to double that today. Since we're not going anywhere, it doesn't matter. We want to hear what the Word has to say. I would like to read the first four verses. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I heard about a little girl who was living in a home. Her mother was very intent on impressing people. And one day the preacher came and she said to her little girl, run and get that good book that we all love so well. And she ran and got the Sears catalog. The world is with us. The world is too much with us. And that's what James is talking about here. Last week we learned about worldliness. Definition was this: to be devoted to the affairs and pleasures and things of this world. Now, that's things. That's the worldliness. We're not talking about, we'll explain what all that has to do with it, but worldliness is something that should not be in the church. Last week we saw the conflict that was caused by worldliness, and we found out that the conflict among ourselves is caused by the conflict within ourselves, which in turn comes from worldliness. How does this happen? How does this happen in a church? These are Christians. These are believers. How many times does he call them believers? 15 times. We got that down now. Yeah. He's writing to believers. Believers can be worldly, is what he's saying. Now, in these two verses, four times he says that they are lacking the things they want. He says, you do not have, you cannot obtain, you do not have, you do not receive. See, so if they're lacking, is he speaking to rich people or poor people? They're lacking, they don't have, they're poor. You know? So he's saying poor people can be worldly, see. Not wealthy people, necessarily. He's talking about poor people. Poor people can be worldly. And it's the have-nots that are being rebuked here, and not the haves. Because worldliness is not the possession of things. It is the obsession with things. So worldliness, then, is our subject. And this leads us to the first and fundamental characteristic of worldliness, and that is lust. And there's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Worldliness is lustful, he says. You lust and you do not have. Now, the description of love of lust is this: it's powerful. The word for lust here is not in the NIV, it's translated want. That doesn't do it, sorry. Crave. You crave things. See? So he's saying here, it's a strong craving, a strong desire. See? And it's used of good desires sometimes, but normally it's bad desires. It refers to bad and even sexual desires. Now, if I said, I saw one of you downtown last week, and you were lusting. Not necessarily bad. I might have said you were lusting for that TV to watch the ball game tonight or whatever. No, it isn't always bad. Sometimes it is means some other things. Someone said, the sin principle has been dethroned from its mastery over the regenerate spirit, but it continues to have its presence felt through yearnings in our mind and in our bodies, such as sexual drive, material possessions, yearning for dominance, misuse of the tongue, he talked about in chapter 3. And Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 7. He says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." It's a powerful pull. It's also unquenchable. Satisfaction of lust is only temporary. I go way back for this one, and that is, there used to be a cigarette called Chesterfield's. Don't say if you remember it, because I don't know how old you are. But the Chesterfield cigarettes were, their caption was, "They satisfy." And my thing is, if they satisfy, why don't they sell them one at a time? No, they sell them a whole 20 in a pack, you know, because they don't satisfy. You get one, and then pretty soon, and I see some people, as they would light one off the other one, you know, and get this one, go again. Why? Well, because they satisfy. And no, they don't satisfy. See, the Women's Temperance League used to come to our school about every year, and those ladies, they really had a yen for what they were doing. And they would tell us this. First, a man takes a drink, and then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. Well, that's what we heard in our school. And that happens, too. Whether it's a drink or a cigarette or illicit sex or, dare I say it, a donut. I thought about that this morning. I thought, it's in my sermon and I'm here. And there they are, nice big shiny donuts out on the table. I took one. Anyway, what do you think? But they all call for another, see? Well, the call was great, but then the donuts were gone. So what can you do? That's what I say. Don't go. So I only got the one, and you were blessed not getting any. Now, the object of lust here is they were lusting for their neighbor's things. There were rich and poor in the church. You know, we've already seen that. He said in 1:9, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humility." So they were rich and poor. In fact, he even chided them for, when the poor man comes in, you let him sit down at your stool, and the rich man says, "Oh, come sit over here." You know, because so there were rich and poor both in the church, and most churches have them today. You don't have to confess. There are rich and poor in the church, and there should be. We should have the kind of a cross-culture, cross-section, where all peoples are there. You know, the rich person should feel at home in our church. The poor people should feel at home. The haves and the have-nots should be able to fellowship together, because we fellowship before the Lord himself. That's our common practice. And that should be true of professions, of vocations. We should have professional people, vocational people, people who work by the week and people who work by the day and by the hour. You know? They should all feel that together we are in the church. 1 John 2, he talks about, I write to you old men. I write to you younger men. I write to you little children. What's he saying? He's saying they're all there in the church. But you know what happens today? We have certain worship ideas that come in, and they chase out the old folks. In fact, they plan to do that. Go to a church, and we're going to build this church up. First thing we're going to do is get rid of the old folks. That's not 1 John 2. I mean, they really do that. 1 John 2 says, no, we need all of those. We need the old folks. We need the young. I write to you older men, older people, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong. I write to you little children. You know, he's writing to all of them, and everything that they have, it should be brought into the church and used together. The older folks sometimes need to hold back on those young guys who are going to go, you know. We need to slow those down sometimes, and not purposely, but there needs to be everybody contributing in the church. Well, it was true here that they had both rich and poor, and we ought to worship together. But then there's the frustration of lust. If you don't have something and you don't lust after it, no problem. When I grew up, I was poor. My sister would say, no, we weren't poor, we were middle class. Well, God help the poor people. We were poor, you know, and I didn't know it. I didn't realize how poor we were. We had enough to eat always had enough to wear. Not the latest styles, but we had something to wear. But I didn't know that I was poor, so I didn't lust after anything. I saw those things out there, but no, I was happy where I was. You know, why? I just wasn't lusting after those things. So if you don't have it, and you don't lust for it, then there's no problem. But if you don't have it and you do lust for it, then that is a problem. You become frustrated, unhappy, miserable, see? Because worldliness, first and foremost, is lustful. It's also hateful. He says you commit murder. Worldliness can lead to murder. Now, I'm going to follow that theme for a minute, and then we'll talk about something else. But it can cause murder. You remember Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21? Ahab and his wife Jezebel. That's where it came from, Jezebel. They had a neighbor, Naboth, and Naboth had a vineyard. And Ahab sitting there saying, I want that vineyard. And so he went to try to buy it. And Naboth said, no, I will not do that. That's in my family. It's my family thing. God gave it to our family. We're going to keep it, and I'll pass it on to my children. Oh, I want that. And one of my teachers one time said, Ahab was sitting in the corner sucking his thumb, wanting that vineyard. His wife said, I'll get it for you. And so she figured it out. She got some people to say, we heard Naboth cursing God. And they said, well, then we'll have to stone him. So they stoned him, and then they come in, and Ahab got his vineyard. It can be, lusting can lead to murder. Well, you know about David. You know, David saw a woman, he lusted after her, killed her husband in order to get her. Well, all that is to say that murder can happen then. But James, I think, is not talking about murder. These people weren't killing each other. Otherwise, the local authority would take care of it. But he's saying they have hatred, and hatred is figurative for murder. Jesus said, you remember, you shall not murder. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I, Jesus, say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, fool, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And then John, 1 John 3:15 says, and whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And I think James has that in mind here. These people were desiring all these things, and they were murdering. By their hate, they were murdering these people. I don't like you. You have this fine house, this fine car, whatever you have. I don't like you. And pretty soon, if I'm hating you so much that in my mind I have murdered you, I'd like to see you get out of here so I can have what you have. Worldliness is also envious. He says you're envious and cannot obtain. The word envious there is to desire heatedly, to have a zeal for something, to be jealous about it. And so these people were desiring others' property. Not only did they want it, but they were passionate about it. You know, it started with the envy, and then the jealousy and all the hatred that went with it in that. And they were not able to get it, he says. And this brings frustration because they were fixated on the things of the world and not on the Lord. Then he says it's quarrelsome. You fight in war. Interesting, he comes back now to the same two words he used in the first verse. You fight in war, only they were reversed in that verse. But the same thing. He says, you fight each other. You have skirmishes. That's what that word is. It's you have little wars. You have a war here and a war there. And some churches are like that. The church that James is writing to is like that. They had little fights over here and little fights over here. And then they also had a whole state of war in the church. You may not have been in those churches. You've been around a while and you'll run into one. And where they have just plain like this at each other. They can't get a thing done for the Lord because they're trying to do so many things for themselves. And they fight, they're quarrelsome. They fight each other. And then he says, it's prayerless. Worldliness is prayerlessness. You have not because you ask not. But he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, ask. If you need something, ask. See? And all they were doing was they were lacking, but they were all desiring and envying and lusting for things, and all the while, God had it for them. And I thought, how do I illustrate that? And this is the best I can come up with. There were four of us, brothers. I won't give you their names. They're strange names. But there were four of us, and suppose we sat around one day and said, I would love to have a holster and two shiny guns. And we're just sitting there talking, and the other one say, no, can't get that. We're poor, remember? No, you can't get that. We'll ask Daddy. He'll get it for us. And Daddy's listening. And so he decides, I'm going to go out and buy four of those things. And when they do ask me, I'll give it to them. One day, the older brother comes out with his shiny thing, two guns. And we watch him. Why did you get that? Daddy gave it to me. What? Daddy gave it to you? I wanted it. What happened? He went and asked for it. And all the time, while we were envying him, there he was. He had all this fun. I want that. No, you can't have it. Sorry, it's mine. You can't have it. Yes, brothers will do that. You know, you can't play with it. It's mine. If he did that, then eventually, you finally say, Daddy, why don't I have one? Son, you didn't ask. See? I have it. You didn't ask. See? And sometimes that happens to us. We want this and we want that. We've never asked God about it. Yeah. Well, ask God. You have not because you ask not. They lack prayer. And sometimes, if you don't want to miss this, the lack of prayer is sometimes the cause of poverty. But not every poor person is prayerless. You know? There are some poor people who are very prayerful. They're still poor. The old health and wealth gospel doesn't fly in Haiti. Guarantee you, it doesn't fly in Haiti. It flies here because there's so much going on. But no, it doesn't work there because poor people, prayerful people, dedicated people are sometimes very poor. So James is giving a principle here. It's not a hard and fast rule. He's simply saying a principle. If you ask God, God will give it to you. Then prayerful, faithful prayer is sometimes a guarantee of wealth. Notice sometimes. Sometimes wealth comes from prayer. People dedicate to the Lord and the Lord blesses them in riches. But sometimes it's not. Because not all rich people are faithful prayers. Some of them don't care a whit about God and that they have things. And we sang, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. I thought, was Bruce in my study? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what that's saying? He's saying, all these things, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added to you. And so people take that. Oh, look, there's a great verse. Let's put it all in a big banner over the church. All these things will be added to you. What all things? Well, I want a Cadillac. Okay, get a Cadillac. Whatever you want. Or maybe you want the third door or whatever. Whatever. But you know what? In context, that doesn't mean that at all. What it means is, in the previous verse, he has said, don't take any anxious thought about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, eating and drinking and wearing, will be taken care of. That's all he's saying. So, faithful prayer doesn't guarantee, asking God doesn't guarantee that whatever I ask, I'm going to get. Worldliness is also greedy. He says, you ask that you may squander it on your pleasures. Now, wait a minute, James. You do not have because you don't ask. Then you ask. Now, I think he's saying there are cases when you don't ask and you don't receive. But then there are times when you pray, because somebody's going to say, wait a minute, James, I prayed. I didn't get it. Why? Well, you ask and you don't get it because you want to squander it on your pleasures. See, worldly people sometimes pray. They're pressured into it. Don't you pray sometimes because you're pressured into it? No. Have you ever done that? In Bible school, I'm afraid that sometimes I had my devotions every day because I was afraid somebody's going to ask me, you have your devotion this morning? or somebody would just drop a little thing. I was reading in my devotions this morning, whatever, and I thought, everybody must do this, you know? So I better do it. And sometimes people pray. Worldly people pray because they're pressured into it. Or sometimes their personal need. Some people don't look up until they're flat on their back and they have to look up. Well, that's what happens sometimes. And so personal need will do it. Maybe I want to fit in. The example of others. That's a good example, say. Jesus prayed all night one time. The next day, his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Good example. Well, sometimes worldly people sometimes pray, but they don't receive, he says. Well, I thought we were supposed to get anything we prayed for. No, you don't get it if you want to squander it on your own things. So they have the wrong motives. They want to consume it or squander it on their own pleasures. You know, God's gifts are given for others. For our own use, but for others as well. The spiritual gifts. Do you know the spiritual gifts are not given for our own use? No. 1 Corinthians 12:7. The Holy Spirit gives for others. No. Given gifts for others to be blessed. And so God blesses us to bless others. There's one section where Paul says, let him who stole steal no more, let him rather work, that he may have for himself and have for others. See? So the things we ask for, we ought to be asking for our needs, but then to share with others who have a need. There are times, I think, when we need to go and get the Sears catalog. We have time. We have things we need. Sometimes we need to go out. We don't call it Sears anymore. It's Best Buy or whatever. But we need to go and we need to buy things. We need to have things. Things are a part of our lives. You see, we're in the world, but we are not of the world, Jesus said. It's like a boat. A boat on the lake. A boat in the water, that's good. But water in the boat, that's not so good. The church in the world, fine. The world in the church, that doesn't work. And God has to give us the wisdom to know the difference between the two.